This past weekend, disturbing video came to light of fraternity brothers at the University of Oklahoma's Sigma Alpha Epsilon chapter gleefully singing a chillingly racist song.
There'll never be a nigger at sea! There'll never be a nigger at sea! You're hanging from a tree, but I'll never stop with me! There'll never be a nigger!
Welcome to the Hip Hop Digest Show with your man, DJ King Killer.
Don't forget about your boy, Kurt G.
What's up? And it's Dr. Green Thumb, a.k.a. Ezo Grizzo. What up?
What's good?
It's good. Happy recording day.
Yes.
No doubt. So we was off last week.
Yeah. We had some communication problems a little bit. But we all right.
No, it's all good. No doubt.
Yeah, well, that music show made up for it.
Yes, no doubt. So first topic on the Hip Hop Digest is Kendrick Lamar. To Pimp a Butterfly, explicit, of course, was released to a great fanfare. Kendrick Lamar's new album, To Pimp a Butterfly, just crushed Drake's record for Spotify streams one day with 9.6 million streams. I can't believe I'm saying this. That's not 9 million sold. That's just 9 million people who clicked on it.
The new math, B.
The new math. The number that tops Drizzy's 6.8 million streams. Etc. etc. If you're reading this, you know what the deal is.
So now niggas gonna try to outdo each other on streams. Now,
that's the new benchmark. The streams.
Yeah, roll your boat.
Right. Forget about
the fucking streams.
Forget about albums sold. It's the streams, and specifically, Spotify is named. So it looks like Spotify is turning out to be the de facto Billboard opening salvo. I don't know if Pandora and them niggas can hang yet.
They made the deal with the devil.
They did, because the whole albums are showing up on what is this shit?
Spotify.
Because Spotify. I've been listening to D'Angelo's new shit on Spotify.
That's pretty good. I like that new D'Angelo.
Yeah, I do too. I need to buy it, but it fucking Spotify got me cracked. You know what I mean?
Oh no.
But in any case, if any of you didn't do the due diligence, and I know that Kurt G didn't do the due diligence, came out. Of course, you know, I got it somehow, some way.
Yeah, I saw it. It was available, but I was busy getting some underground albums, and I saw it available, and I said, you know what? I should download it, but you know what? I don't know.
Expecting the new Kendrick to be full of mustard, Mike Will, you know, that type of shit.
I didn't expect mustard, but I expected more to, like, his last album, but it's like, I didn't want to be right there on the first day.
I'm just going to tell you right now, that Kendrick is good.
You like it?
That Kendrick is stupid good.
Wow.
I'm just being 100. Now, I'm saying that because musically, I didn't get into the lyrics. I didn't even really get into the lyrics, but
so
cursory.
So you just listened to the tracks.
No, I listened to the lyrics and the tracks, but the music got me first because the music isn't a old head repellent. Soon as you hear that, rattlesnakes, as Swervin would say, it's almost like a 40-year-old repellent.
You're like, oh.
And you're like, oh, shit, yo, what's this, Raid? I'm in the fuck out. I can't listen to that shit. But Kendrick's not up there. You got people like, you know, George Clinton, I think, you know, Robert Glasper, Bilal. It's just,
sounds like some Dre influence right there.
Oh, my goodness.
George Clinton in the house.
Somebody, I don't know who's in this young man's camp, but somebody said, what we're going to do is do the bass music that's going to sustain. Not the music for a season. We're going to do a sustained bass, more real music. So I was certainly like, damn, the tracks are not an old head repellent. And then, of course, and he's got Rhapsody up there. Rhapsody just got this one line about she ain't talking J and she ain't talking B. And I was like, oh, shit, now you talking to me. You know what I mean? I was all into it. You know what I mean? So shout out to Kendrick. I got to admit, yo, whoo. Right now, my brothers, I suggest you get it somehow, some way.
Wow.
Go to Spotify and check it out.
I have to say, though, sir, that I didn't listen to the full, you know what I'm saying? But I did scan it.
Okay.
And I just wasn't, I mean, I liked the other one better. You know what I'm saying? Remember back when I was saying that when Good Kid, Mad City came out, I was like, damn, maybe he could be the catalyst for change. Remember I said that?
I remember that.
And I just liked what he did then. This one to me seems facetious to me. It's just like, yeah, you got that Black of the Berry, which is you know, something. I think there was one other song I might have liked on this album, but it was like just a little experimental to me.
Yeah, and you know, it's so some people would say in today's climate it's too left, it's too opposite. That's the reason why I love it. Again, you take somebody with his name, with he's on the Devil's label.
Oh yeah,
but that doesn't make it good though, because it's different. No. We always got to distinguish that.
No, I'm not saying it. What I'm saying is that all the ducks that he's got lined up, you would think that the Devil and everybody on his team is going to mandate a Drake carbon copy album. Right. He's not that artist. He's not that artist. I grant you that. But you think they're going to mandate? They see them Drake numbers and they telling him, I don't care what you was recording, I got Mustard and he got 10 beats. Let's go. I mean, you would think, but he didn't do that. Hey, I'm sorry. I'm riding with Kendrick, yo. Putting $1 million on Kendrick.
Oh, not the million
damn.
Dollars.
Not the million. Did you just put another mill up on the Devil's
another
time?
Another million.
Yo.
As much as this nigga hates Floyd Mayweather, you'd be flaunting some millions, B.
You'd be flaunting. Out there looking like Adrian.
So, you know what I'm saying? I'm sure the brothers leaving are gonna back me up on that 100.
Well, B, I'm a little curious now. I think I'm gonna go ahead and listen to it.
Because see, the album isn't it isn't for club, it isn't party.
Right.
It's to sit down and break down and what we used to do with albums. You know, just a lot of albums, as soon as you hear it, it's just like, oh, okay, I know what that's all about. I'm out. So no doubt. Next time we're going to Hip Hop Down. Just shout out to Adam Sands, Nick. He sent us something saying that social media isn't all about, you know, bullshit and twerking pics and all that shit. He said he had a great experience on Instagram with regards to sharing music, specifically with, vinyl. You go to a dollar store and you pick up a piece of vinyl, what's good, and throw the pickup on Instagram. And I seen a couple of his vinyl pics. Shout out to you, that Nina Simone and Vince Guaraldi.
Oh,
Vince Guaraldi's
okay.
My man.
Right.
Anyway, I love his music. For all of you who don't know, Vince Guaraldi's the guy who does the Charlie Brown music. But in any case, shout out to him. Rest in peace to him. But I seen that, and I was like, oh, okay, Adam Sandler. So maybe I'm thinking I got a lot of vinyl joints I could take pictures of and be throwing them shits up on Instagram, just on that level. So I'm thinking. I don't know yet. I'm thinking. So who knows? No doubt.
Not you, King Killer, on the gram, B?
Maybe.
Yeah, exactly. You down with the gram?
Maybe. Maybe in a
we
limited.
We do have a gram. You know.
Oh, yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah,
yes,
yeah.
We do.
Oh, okay.
He's in charge of all that shit over there, dude.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, he like he can set up some shit on us, B. He could have us out there all fucked up.
He could.
Oh, I do all the time.
He could be throwing us under the bus and we don't even know it. We get thrown under the bus.
Oh, no doubt.
Yeah, fuck with me and you'll know it.
Oh, shit. So, you know, definitely shout out to you. So, I got a couple clips I want to play during the show. And the first clip is from my man, Onyx the Truth Podcast.
When it comes to hip hop, especially that of today, I have just two major problems with the art form as it currently is. Just two major problems. My first problem with hip hop is, number one, hip hop has no standards. Hip hop has no standards.
So, I want you to pay attention to that, because this is not me. This is Onyx Truth Podcast.
Sounds like you influenced him, my brother.
Well, I'm just saying, it's not me. I'm just saying, this sets up the next topic, which is the Drake issue part two. A good friend of the show, shout out to William Banks III. You know, it's the year of the government. He sent us a nice email about Drake, and he goes on to say that I think that you're not seeing Drake in the right perspective. I only expect Drake to be Drake. It's not fair to compare him to anybody else but his legitimate contemporaries and rivals. And so I understand that. But standards, the limited thing we do on the show is a very limited standard. And it's very limited. you're right. Drake is not of my generation. He, you know, and then there's going to be another generation after him, and everybody needs to be sort of put in a generational perspective. But overall, if you apply a limited standard, Kurt G, DJ Q, others have said that they believe Drake has good lyrical skill. I disagree with that, but no, but I'm just saying, but what we're trying to do is a limited standard to judge the MC on. See, I think the problem is that everybody wants to build a gigantic highway and want to build their own lane, so you can't criticize them. So you can't say Drake compared to rapper X or rapper Y isn't as good. Now, he's selling records. He's a popular. Nobody ever hears when we praise him. Selling a lot of records. He's a crazy millionaire. His business acumen is fantastic. Nobody ever hears that. Everybody only hears that we, or at least me, and others don't think that Mr. Aubrey is that good. But he goes on to say that sort of like comparing him to Drake, comparing him to Bobby Smurder, O.T. Genesis. When I believe you do that, you delegitimize Drake in that way as far as Drake's fans are concerned. Now, Swervin, if we compare Drake to O.T. Genesis or Smurder, are we delegitimizing him?
Yes. Because though I can't stand his little boy-ass voice, Drake that is, I would be an asshole to sit here and say that he doesn't wrap circles around those other clowns.
No doubt. Indeed. He said, let's go back to the dinosaur days. He said you can have a salt and pepper versus Fresh Prince conversation, but you're not having a serious MC Light versus salt and pepper debate. They're two completely different styles of music with completely different audiences and purposes. Would you agree with him on that statement, G?
To a point, because back then we liked both. We liked salt and pepper, and we liked, I just had a brain fart.
MC Light.
MC Light, that's what I had a brain fart on. MC Light. So we never really compared the two because we did know they were different, but...
So what he's saying is that you got to understand Drake is on an island on his own lane. Don't compare him to others other than his contemporaries and rivals. So what I'm trying to think of when I look at music, I kind of look at it as, you know, so who would be his rival? Would Big Sean be his rival? Oh, no, he's not his rival because Drake is crazy bigger than him. Drake is J. And then niggas will say, well, Drake is on a J level. But then they get mad, you know what I'm saying, when we be like, well, shit, if I'm pulling out reasonable doubt on a nigga, Drake sit the fuck down. Oh, what are you talking about? See, the limited scope of lyrical dexterity and that limited scope puts everybody in line. If you're going a limited scope, then you're right. You're going to put salt and pepper way down the list. No matter how much I like salt and pepper, but lyrical dexterity, you're going to put them way down the list. Now, certainly we can disagree or agree on who is lyrics, who got lyrics, and who represents, and this, that, and the third, and there's a lot to go into that. But I'm just saying... Just like the opening salvo, this is the biggest problem in hip-hop because there really isn't any standard. And it allows anyone, when they want to decide as a Drake fan, now we want our own lane because that's going to keep us sort of, you can't criticize us because we're on our own island. We're on our own lane. But then want to jump back in, but we're hip-hop. But then you don't want to be held to a standard. Although I be it very limited, and I don't care if it's O.T. Genesis, Salt and Pepper, or Drake. If I'm comparing them, yeah, maybe Drake on paper will be above these guys if you're doing a forensic examination of his lyrics. But as far as I'm representing, I don't know, B. It's no standards. You know
what I mean? Well, it sounds like a little bit of mixture because, you know, we've always said, just like every other genre of music, there needs to be lanes, right? There needs to be in hip hop. Maybe it's going towards that because I'm sure Drake and them guys don't want to be in categories with Just like they don't want to be in categories with Big Daddy Kane and anybody like that ilk. They don't want to be in a lane with OC Genesis or anybody like that either.
Well, that's what I'm saying. And so that gets back to the opening salvo. There are no standards. You got people who saying what we want to do is create our own little situation here. Okay, that way we can't get criticized. And when you criticize us, oh, how can you criticize us? We're not Big Daddy Kane. Oh, how can you criticize us? We're not OT Genesis. Oh, don't praise us.
But you know what, though? You know what that is? That's a sign of this class maturing a little bit.
Really?
I think so. Because we've talked about this hip-hop classification many times, and nobody want to hear that, but it's needed. It's like you ain't comparing certain genres of rock and roll with other genres of rock and roll.
Yeah, but the genres of rock and roll have a standard. Okay, you may be punk, but you're going to be compared to punk throughout history along with your own playing ability.
Right. So those little crying rap boys will be in Drake's lane. And those loving the cocoa heads will be in that lane.
Oh, okay.
Nobody will care. You know, except unless you like that lane. Like, not everybody likes goth music, right?
So Drake and Future is in the same lane.
Yep.
I would think so. But then Drake fans would be like, oh, come on, man. Future ain't really got lyrics. Drake is really, really heartfelt lyrics.
And Titty Boy and all them.
I'm just saying that to me is, now, shout out to William Banks. I think that when you write a letter like that, that to me is just sort of, again, it's no standard. You just want to put people in a certain classification to sort of protect them from, or only want to compare them to. All as far as I hear is from Kerr G, and not that Kerr G's repping Drake, but you'd say, oh, lyrically, Drake got some shit.
I do think so.
So, therefore, I'm going to take that cue and say, okay, let me pull out, let me compare him to Black Thought. And he's like, oh, no, how can you do that? They're not even the same. Well, you just said he had lyrics. You know Black Thought got lyrics. Oh, but not those type of lyrics. Then we need to create another lane.
What it is that
highway is fucking 80 lanes wide, my nigga.
Super duper highway.
Niggas, what it is that it feels unfair that we're trying to compare Drake to our era. Is what it's like. Is instead of comparing him to the people of his era and saying that, basically saying that Drake is the best from his era.
Oh, fuck comparing Drake. How can you compare Drake to these underground niggas? Nobody knows them. Even though they're Drake's the same age and they got better lyrics than Drake. Oh, how can you compare him to Rashid Chappelle? No, Joey Badass, fuck that, yo. Joey's not paid.
Right, that's a different lane, though.
So now you got to put your boy Kendrick in the lane with him, then. So I guess they're in the exact same lane.
I'm glad you said that. William Banks didn't write this, but I picked this up as they may occupy totally different spaces artistically, but Drake and Kendrick Lamar are always going to be linked together now, as you know, Kendrick's latest puts him in the record books alongside Drake. But listen to that, how it started out. They may occupy different spaces artistically. There's another lane being built.
Right.
Okay. I understand what you're saying. You know, okay, now you're going to put them and compare them. Top of the heat, money. J. Cole as well. But then it's going to break down who got money, who was on tour with who, and we need to get another lane because Drake or Kendrick is getting criticized on this, that, and the third. I don't know, B. I think the simpler that you boil it down, and you boil it down to a very simple standard when you're talking about lyricists, especially those who are at least from this generation, they're saying if you name the top lyricists of your generation, they may say Drake, J. Cole, and Kendrick. They may say that. Okay, but, well, that's not a problem. I don't have a problem with that. Huh?
The word lyricist. Are they lyricists? Really?
I'm just saying, if you're asking a young guy, okay, name me the top three from your generation, they may say those three. I don't have a problem with that, but then I'm a historian, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to try to take a historical view. I'm going to say, okay, who's better in this generation? We'll pick a name. And then how does he do against guys, let's say, back in the mid-2000s? How does he do against, you know, maybe a Ja Rule and the DMX? Do they blow him out the water? Are they equal? I mean, you know what I'm saying? And then that's how I do a contrast and compare. You know, I may go through several different generations, different eras, different situations. How do they stack up? I mean, Kumo D, well, no, I'm saying Kumo D can write a book like that. And he did the same thing. He took all these different principles, you know, and he, Will Smith was in the book. I mean, wasn't rated very high, but he was in the book. And I'm
right,
not saying
it's a different mentality, though.
Oh, another lane again.
Well, right. B, exactly. I think it's almost you're going to have to clarify a little bit. I think so.
Well, that's because, why I try to boil it down to very simple. Not a lot of different.
No, I mean, as far as like on several shows, you said that there's no standards. And I remember you saying that we need to niggas need to have their own lane. We need to have niggas.
OK.
Need to say hip hop. This is hip hop. And this is trap. And this is that.
Right.
And this is that.
Right.
We need different lanes.
Correct.
But now you're saying that niggas is creating too many lanes.
Well, I'm saying
that. So we need to clarify.
No. OK. I think that when you're talking about lyricist, okay, the type of MC that Drake is, you're right. He needs to be, William Banks is correct. He needs to be in the lane in a contemporary, when we're talking about today's MCs.
Right.
Okay. Now, I could bring up somebody from the underground who I think is better. I'm going to get blown out because he doesn't have as much as money as those niggas. And I get that. Okay. But I'm talking about an overall very limited standard. You're right. All of these guys need to have their lane as the type of music. Like Igri talked about punk. Punk rock is punk rock.
Right.
Punk rock isn't metal. You know, punk rock isn't, you know, corporate rock. You know, or whatever the different breakdowns. They all have lanes, but they're all judged on a can, first of all, can they play? And they're all judged on that simple standard. You know what I'm saying? Metallica may not play punk, but can Metallica play?
Yep.
Can that person drum? Can that person play his instrument? So that's what we're talking about in hip hop. Yeah. Okay. Look, Drake got his lane. He got his money lane. He got his girlfriend's lane. He got his TMZ lane. He got his Twitter lane. All of that is 100% locked up. But can he go? Can he run? Some people like yourself say he can. Now, where does he stand in the historical hierarchy? I'm thinking not very high, but that's just me right now. You know what I mean?
Well, and historically, no, he's not very high.
So, and some people get upset about that. So I think to clarify this, to sort of clarify this, where I come from a lot of times on a lot of these guys is from a historical, very limited, where do they stand up in the hierarchy of this whole thing? Okay.
B, I hate to remind you of this, though, but you can't, we can talk history, right?
Correct.
But these folks can't see past the last 3 years, B.
Oh, I understand that.
So they're not gonna get it. You're talking calculus to people trying to study multiplication.
Let me
multiply and name money.
Again, and we'll get out of this topic, but it comes down to, you're right, no standards. Because if you had a standard, it's funny how people, and you hate to use the same shit over and over and over again. And how many times can we say this? It's funny how 20-year-old guys in rock and roll understand perfectly who Jimi Hendrix is and what the fuck he was doing. And never say, oh, well, that shit was kind of, fuck that.
That's dinosaur music.
Yeah, that's dinosaur music. They understand very well, or just like young jazz players who know who Coltrane is. They understand exactly who the fuck John Coltrane is and what the fuck he was doing.
Yeah,
John Coltrane, that's dinosaurs.
That's dinosaurs. See, what we in hip hop, because we ain't got no standards. You're right. 3 years ago, niggas is looking at Big Daddy Kane like, I can't. What the fuck is that?
What's this trapezoic shit?
Paleozoic, my nigga.
Math.
So to get out of the topic, anyway, shout out to William Banks III. Yo, that letter, yo, I was thinking about that letter all week and how I could basically say, for me, a lot of times when I'm blowing niggas out, it's on a very simple historical standard, okay? And you're right. The 80-lane highway will get wider with each new commercial MC, I assume.
Right, so what you're saying basically is that musically, niggas need a lane. We need
correct
to put a different lane.
Yes.
Lanes along musically.
Yes.
But not lyrically.
Well, you lyrically too, but I'm just saying, if you're going to consider yourself an MC and then you're considering yourself the best of your generation, well, then we have other generations to compare you to. That's a valid standard. I don't particularly agree with situation where we have Salt and Pepper, MC Light, Jay Electronica, Joey Badass. I mean, historically, you can put them in a line. Historically. And it's a very simple standard. Where they fall on that line may upset their particular fans. A lot of these guys today won't do better because it's so because of the guys in the 80s set such a high standard. I mean, that's just 100. I mean, granted, I know a 20-year-old won't understand that because there is no standard. So that's my point. And to back my point up, next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is Lil Wayne initially thought Drake really sucked, according to Jazz Prince. Lil Wayne told me he sucked, Prince explains in this clip. It's some kind of documentary. And he was like, Jazz, don't play that shit for me no more. It's not good. But Jazz Prince says, I'm persistent. He kept throwing him beats, different shit, pushing the envelope until Wayne thought he was good. So I only put that in there. Here's Lil Wayne. Now, I don't know how long ago it is. I didn't see the clip. But according to Jazz Prince, Lil Wayne initially thought that Drake wasn't any good. Now, I guarantee you, let's say that he heard the Anita Baker loop with Drake on it. Look at where Lil Wayne's coming from. Of course he don't think that shit's good. Until Jazz Prince started throwing him trap beats, and then now Wayne thought he was good. So I'm just saying, this is not me. It's not me. According to Jazz Prince, even young antihistamine thought he wasn't that good. I'm just saying, Kerr G, please.
Well, B, you know how I am, son. When I hear a nigga say some shit, Jazz Prince say some shit like that.
Uh-oh.
I hear a nigga trying to divide and conquer.
Uh-oh.
You know what I'm saying? I know there's some beef going on there.
It's crazy beef.
Right. Not here divide and conquer. I hear him trying to throw shots so that way Drake hear that Wayne thought he wasn't that good. And maybe Drake now looks at Wayne in a different light.
I get it.
And decides that I don't really want to fuck with Wayne.
So you
no
looking
more.
Behind the curtain.
Yes. I always look behind the curtain. So yeah, I'm seeing some other shit going on. Oh, I'm seeing shit. A snake nigga.
Oh shit, I feel you, yo. No doubt about it. So indeed. So next clip number two. We're gonna go ahead and play the next clip number two. Next time we're gonna Hip Hop Digest. Go in, hit the clip.
There's this rapper, Waka Flocka Flame, who has performed for these kids in the past on the campus. And he canceled his show at the University of Oklahoma after this video surfaced, saying that in the wake of the video, he's disgusted and disappointed. And
you saw him on another network last night.
I saw him on another network.
I'm shocked and stunned and deeply saddened that they used that
word.
And
then they said, Waka Flocka Flame, thank you very much. Good luck to you. And he was gone. And I'm like, I look at his lyrics and I'm thinking, why wouldn't you ask this guy why you would go on that campus? And if you look at every single song, I guess you call it. He's written.
And
it's a bunch of garbage, full
that,
of N-words, full
this,
of F-bombs. It's wrong, and he shouldn't be disgusted with them. He should be disgusted with himself.
So, there it is. There it is.
He said it's garbage.
Yeah. So there it is, right there. And didn't she say when you look at his lyrics? I thought I heard that.
Yes, that's what she said.
Okay. So I'm not gonna get all.
She didn't read them like Charlton Heston.
No, she didn't read them, but she said when you look at his lyrics. So anyway, MSNBC Morning Joe host blame rap for the whole situation that happened down at Oklahoma University. You got two things that happened down at Oklahoma University. They're on a bus talking about no niggas is ever gonna be with us and stringing niggas up.
They already heard it.
Okay,
they know what it's about.
All right, so they got the intro to the show, and then of course, then you got this house mother who is singing the lyrics to a Trinidad James song, All Gold Everything, where he goes into a nigga something, and she's just lyric for this nigga. Only on nigga. She probably don't know nothing else but nigga. So you got those two controversies, and there's two things that I want to discuss on here. And number one, you got national TV, you got Waka Flocka on national TV, and you got Trinidad James on national TV, both talking about the word nigga. Now, to me, it's not so much about nigga. We talked about nigga on this show ad nauseum, but it's the fact that number one, I'm like Kerr G, I'm looking behind the curtain. You got the Morning Joe host, Joe Scarborough and Billy Crystal, talked about how corporations make major money off of this type of music. Okay? And Willie Geist made the point that this type of music is being made by the corporations, and they have nothing to do with a fraternity talking about stringing niggas up and this house mother. So, number one, they didn't call out Universal, NBC Universal. I think Flocka's on that. He certainly, Trinidad James has been released from his major label contract, but still, nonetheless, you got major. They didn't call out any of the major label people who they know that are making money off of this shit swerving.
Wonder why?
Why? Because
I don't answer. Do you want to know why?
Well, before you answer that, and I also want to say, just like Don Lemon and them niggas on CNN with Trinidad James looking like a gigantic monkey show, I didn't hear anyone.
Know why?
My man.
Because those ghosts that you're talking about are making money. Those people that were on those TV shows are making that shit. So if they was making Public Enemy music, then they'd be making Public Enemy music. But the labels are not, and I don't give a fuck about the labels, but they are not making the music, B. They're promoting the fuck out of it, but they're not making
They're making
shit.
Money off
it's,
of that
it's,
shit.
It's Trinidad James who want to sit up there like a fucking gentleman with a perm and talk like he's just the most brilliant motherfucker. But you're going to make that ignorant monkey shit. So don't tell me about no labels. The labels are like, oh, we're going to exploit the fuck out of whatever's going to make money. Now, that's a totally separate thing on its own self. But for these dudes, Waka Flocka, Trinidad, to sit up there and act like, oh, I'm so educated. And yeah, those people shouldn't be saying that shit. Nigga, please. And I don't give a fuck about Don Lemon anyway. I don't give a fuck about that dude. But
yeah, I know Don Lemon be wilding, yo. Yeah. Kurt G, help me out, yo. You be bringing some clarity a lot to this shit, yo.
Well, first off, the situation with the word nigga, I definitely had no problem with it, even with grandma saying it, because it is the lyrics to the song.
Yeah, she was lyrics to the song.
She didn't make them shits up.
Nah.
So
nah.
Grandma could say nigga all day. Matter of fact, I'll be right there next to her. We'll be doing a damn video together.
Okay, that's right.
Because that's what the words of the song is. So it's not like she's out of line with that shit. Maybe she enjoyed saying it, but still.
It's that Paul Mooney shit. Her teeth was white as a motherfucker when she was saying it, too. Make her teeth white. But anyway, go ahead. So, I don't want to make it about the word nigga. I guess I want to make it about the background shit, yo. I think it's a problem. I think it's only a problem in the fact that, you're right, on the grandma clip, she's singing the Trinidad James song. Man, I go to work, and every now and then, I see a car full of white boys playing Trap Like a Motherfucker, and the motherfuckers is nigga this and nigga that, and they in their own private vehicle, the music banging. You know what? Look, what am I going to say about that? The grandma I ain't got no beef with. These motherfuckers on that bus, though. It's a motherfucking fraternity, yo.
Yeah, that's different.
That's different. That's some different shit.
Yeah.
And I guess, I think, to me, I still say people like Lemon, people like Joe Scarborough and them, I think that it's such intellectual dishonesty to understand that there are... The word nigga comes in a lot of different flavors and a lot of different meanings. And to sit up there... I ain't got nothing to say about grandma singing the lyrics to the song, but them motherfucking college students on that bus, yo. If this is 45, they could stop and string some niggas up.
Yeah, they could have.
That's the tone that they bring into that.
Yep.
You know what I mean? I mean, that's just 100.
That was totally different. They wasn't singing a rap song.
No, they wasn't. So, you know, I don't know. I don't know what we're going to do with this. I don't know. To me... I'm kind of like, gee, I don't know if I'm going to be in there video with her. I've come a long way. But again.
Have you? You still wouldn't punch a white boy in the face if he came up to you and said, what's up, my nigga? You wouldn't punch him in the face these days?
It'd be real hard. I'd be tight like a motherfucker, real talk. I'd be tight. But like I said, I don't know. I'm trying to stick with my slur on a slur.
Yeah, I still don't give a shit about it.
You call me a nigga, then...
Just don't touch me.
You know what I mean? Right. If you're an Indian nigga, you know, I'm going to call you a Punjabi nigga. You know what I mean? Your word is born. No disrespect, Adam Sandler. If you're a Jewish nigga, I'm liable to call you a yarmulke nigga. I'm going to do a slur on a slur.
but can't nobody call you a nigga though?
But they can't call you a
nigga. No, they could call me a nigga, but I'm just saying, instead of punching them in the face, I'm probably just going to use a slur on a slur. The equal time. The equal time. You know what I mean?
So. Yeah, that's funny to me. That's funny as hell.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Sand nigga. Yo, shout out to DJ Khaled. You run up to me, I'm going to call you a sand nigga. You know what I mean? I'm going to do a slur for slur. So...
The word doesn't bother me at all.
That's real. That's what's up.
Matter of fact, I got a quick story. I was just with the other day. I went to pick wifey up from the hairdresser. I dropped her off, and when I went back to pick her up, the parking lot was full, so you couldn't park in front of the hairdresser. So I had to pull over on the side. So I'm actually blocking one of the lanes for people to get out of the parking lot. But there's two of them. There's two lanes to get out. So there's one right next to me where you could get out. So, white boy in a pickup truck, if you can already see where this story's going.
Oh, boy.
White boy in a pickup truck pulls up behind me.
I'm sitting there.
I tell him go around. So, he sits there, and he's just sitting behind me, just chilling. I'm like, okay, you going to chill? Fuck it, then. You can sit back there. I'm still waiting on wifey to come out of the hairdresser, even though she told me she was ready to go. But anyway.
Oh, you know how
I'm
that
sitting,
is.
Yeah, exactly. So, she texts me early. You know how that goes. But anyway, I'm sitting there, and I'm chilling. So, like, 2 minutes later, this nigga peels out. Goes around me, stops in front of the car, lets down his window, fucking nigga! And peels off. I busted out laughing. I fucking damn near fell out laughing at this nigga. I was like, wow, his face was red when he said that shit. He was that pissed. He probably would have spit all over his window if he didn't let it down. I was like, okay, fuck it. You that upset about it? Good for you. Have a nice day. Like I said, the word doesn't bother me at all. You know what I'm saying? So I wasn't even tripping off this motherfucker.
Yeah.
Right. Well, you know, he didn't get out the car, come banging.
Oh, exactly. Because if he got out the car, that'd been a different situation. Yeah. Oh, okay. I wouldn't have been mad. Right. I wouldn't have been mad about the word you calling me a nigga, but you step over here,
that's
you
real.
Cross that line.
Well, actually, exactly. Yeah. Now, everybody's quick to call you a nigga and keep driving. That's for sure.
I had no problem with that. So, it was funny.
Indeed. All right, let's get off of that shit. Yo, next time we're going to Hip Hop Digest is Pharrell Williams and Robin Thicke ordered to pay $7 million after getting blurred lines all fucked up in the game. The jury awarded them $7.4 million and determined that Thicke and Pharrell copied Marvin Gaye's Got to Give It Up, et cetera, et cetera.
So Thicke is officially done now.
It's a lot of money. So let's get into the merits of this lawsuit. First of all, there's a couple of things that to me. You got the Marvin Gaye family, after they won the judgment, who put out a letter talking about, you know, our dad has a wonderful musical legacy and we're trying to protect intellectual privacy, intellectual property and this, that, and the third. Not trying to sound like greedy ass kids is what they were anyway. So not trying to sound like greedy. So to the Marvin Gaye family, look, I understand you won that shit, but you just some greedy ass kids as far as I'm concerned, because you would have got some money anyway. But I digress. Back to Pharrell and Robin Thicke, who literally got up there and talking about he was high on alcohol and drugs during the making of that and didn't realize. You got Pharrell sounding all snarky, talking about this is going to stifle creativity and this, that, and the third. I'm like, nigga, you was not going to fucking get away with that shit. What the fuck? Did he sample Got to Give It Up? No. Yeah. No, he didn't.
If he played it or whatever the fuck.
He played it, and it played it close enough. I mean, yeah. That's because niggas don't understand their history. When you go back to the original hip-hop lawsuits, the people who were sampling, and even the people who didn't, the old Vanilla Ice, we changed one note in a Queen bass line.
Right.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Exactly.
You're going to get fucking sued.
Trying to be slick.
And that's all Pharrell got caught being slick. On a major label, when this shit fucking clear the samples. The Marvin Gaye family clear samples all day. Ask Eric Sermon, who walked away with a hellacious paycheck from his last hit.
Yep.
Clear the sample. Trying to be snarky, trying to talk all this newfangled shit. You know, the creativity, everybody's influenced by somebody, and now we're going to be stifled. Nah, nigga, you have to pay for this fucking sample.
You'll be stifled, nigga.
Right. And then, too, you got to watch out for greedy-ass kids. Marvin Gaye made that music. His kids didn't, but his kids are some greedy motherfuckers who got
because
you.
They still trying to do more.
On top of that, going back on a second lawsuit, not only did he get the money from the artist, Pharrell, and Robin Thicke, But now they're going after the labels, which I don't give a fuck about. And your boy T.I., who just fucking showed up and put a verse on.
I felt the same way about Thick. I'm thinking all that should have been on Pharrell, because that was the music that was sounding like Got to Give It Up.
Yeah, but that Thick record, though. So he's got responsibility.
When shut up. Be humble. Shut the fuck up.
Oh, nigga, when he pulled that.
He's humbled now.
Oh, that nigga pulled that I was high on alcohol and drugs and shit. I didn't realize. Are you fucking kidding me? Nah, man, I it's that snarky shit. You're not like Pharrell, you know, but I'm just saying, yo, when it gets right down to it, nigga, when you are on a major label and you got money, they gonna come after you. In this hip hop thing, underground niggas can only sample and get away with it. And to a certain extent, you know, I don't give a fuck what if it's Kev Brown or anybody else. God forbid that shit blow. Because y'all niggas won't get any money, but they're not getting any money now. So underground niggas, Black Milk and everybody else, go for it. Nobody's coming after you. It's just big money, niggas.
Just
next,
be creative.
Right. Next topic on that, Jay-Z, your boy.
The corporate. Talking about big money.
Yeah, talking about big money.
He got $7 million under his fingernail.
Oh, nigga, check this out, yo. Forced to pay back huge royalties for not clearing the Magna Carta Holy Grail sample.
Whoops.
According to the Daily Mail, hip-hop superstar has agreed to pay 50% of the royalties from his song to a Swiss jazz musician.
Nice payday.
The Swiss jazz musician says, in a way, I'm flattered that a relatively young rapper takes a sample from an old man. That sample's about 35 years old. On the other hand, I'm furious because it would have been so simple to clear the sample.
Yep.
So, Jay, I believe I didn't put it down there. I think Jay's looking at about $3.5-4 million. He probably wrote him a personal check by now.
Yeah, that just takes away one vacation.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So, nothing even taking away vacation. It's just $4 million that Jay had laying around any fucking way.
Like, whoops, what is that? Oh. Sorry, sorry, Blue.
Sorry, sir.
I'm going to have to take that away from you.
So, you know, I just, again, you know, in this hip-hop thing, yo, we should all learn lessons. You know, all the way back to the early lawsuits, all the way back to the Biz Markie, Gilbert O'Sullivan, I Need a Haircut, all the way back to the Lord Tariq and Peter Guns.
Ooh,
total a total obliteration.
They got hammered.
Steely
Dan took fucking everything. They took the song. They took the group's name. They took the group's ability to record. They took everything. I don't feel sorry for Thick. I don't feel sorry for Pharrell. I do feel sorry for T.I. if he got to pay, considering he ain't had nothing to do with it. He just came in to put a verse down. I don't feel sorry for the corporate rapper. He's got it any fucking way.
And the corporate usually clear samples.
And well, sleeping. Yeah,
that's what happens
when you
got too many hats on.
Yeah, corporate. Yeah, he usually does clear. So,
but you see, my thing all along with Thick was that the reverse, because you know they was quick. You just named off a whole list. I ain't hear. I'm sure there are white artists that sample. I'm sure there are.
Yeah, Madonna, when she took that Public Enemy, Justify My Love shit.
Ain't nobody sued her. So when Thick was all huffing and puffing, I was like, oh, yeah, you got to get down, B. You got to get down and lay down. What did B say?
Get down and lay down.
Yeah, you talking all that, B.
Oh, shit.
Man, just be humble. You almost got away with it. But like you said, Killer, you some old 68-9-year-old or 71-year-old judge in a courtroom don't know the difference.
Music. Exactly. So no doubt, indeed. Shout out to the Beastie Boys. License to Ill just went diamond, sold 10 million copies. You know, and that's 10 million physical copies. That's not 10 million streams. That's 10 million real, tangible copies of License to Ill. Shout out to the Beastie Boys. Rest in peace, MCA. Next topic. This is for you, Swervin. You had a head of steam on this Diamond. Not Diamond. On this Dame Dash talks about no more Jay-Z questions and a host of other things up at the station in New York down the dial. It's the same ass motherfucker. Charlamagne the God and them niggas. I don't even fuck with them niggas, yo. But Dame Dash got up there and he got into niggas shit. And you had something to say about Dame Dash.
Yep, it's very funny to me how people are just looking at the messenger and saying, fuck the message. It is absolutely ridiculous that Dame Dash can get up there and say what he said, which was very important. It's extremely opposite of the shit that we normally hear. And maybe that's why people got all fucked up with it, because it's the opposite. Nobody wants to hear about being a boss. You know why? Because a lot of fucking work goes into being a boss, right? We can all work for somebody. We all have worked for somebody, and we all do work for somebody at some point. But when Dame was saying, you know, it was Dame saying it the way Dame would say it. Maybe if somebody else had said it, they'd be like, oh. But it just blows my mind how people were just so dismissive of Dame Dash, worried about his wallet. Nigga, he on the radio station. You're at work listening to him.
Well, okay, just for point counterpoint, people were saying that about Dame Dash, because Dame, it's just certain people with prickly personalities. And I remember G saying that about 50. I was like, yo, I didn't really fall for a lot of 50s hijinks and shit in the early days, because I thought that was just 50 trying to do anything he could to get his brand out there or whatever, you know. And I think to a certain extent, Dame Dash in the same way. I think you're right that Dame Dash was talking about something deep and about ownership and about taking stock in one's lives and generational wealth and wanting his sons to be better and all of that shit. I get that. But when you got clown niggas like Charlamagne Tha God and them niggas up there, and the only fucking thing they worrying about is, when did you really start having beef with Jay-Z?
Right.
Well, you know, did they say, who was the first to crack on Beyonce? You were Jay. You know, that dumb shit. Niggas, right, and he hammered them niggas when they asking dumbass questions like that. I get it.
That's because Jay is still relevant. So they want to get to somebody that's still relevant that their young audience might know.
And Dame Dash is not relevant.
No, he's not.
But they got him up on the radio station, though.
Hopefully that he would answer some questions about Jay. Oh, boy. That's what it was all about.
Oh, boy.
B, real quick, because you know I'm live tweeting while we do this shit. Mr. Murph sent this funny-ass GIF or GIF, whatever the fuck they're called. Talking about this going to be good. You got to see it. You got to go on Twitter and see this shit he put on there.
That's what's up, no doubt. Indeed.
But anyway, yeah, But just the root of the shit, people need to look past who Dame is and what they think of him and listen to what the fuck he said, because that was some deep, important, needed shit, yo.
Okay, Dame Dash, that's what's up. So, we're Kerr G, you got your shit together?
Actually, I almost had it together. God damn.
Fucking Kurt G. Almost albums of the week. You got it together now.
I got to get my instrumental album. I forgot to put the instrumental album.
He doesn't have the instrumental album, indeed. So, sorry about that. The week before last, y'all, I was sick as a motherfucker, y'all. I couldn't fuck with it, so.
He had a one-day sickness. Nigga called the next day talking about, oh, we recording?
Yeah, I mean, really.
And then y'all hit me. I'm in the bed sleep like a motherfucker. I got to go to work tonight. Shit.
Literally, it's just a 24-hour bug and shit, yo. Literally, yo. So that's what's up. I felt better the next day. Shit. You ready now?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay, Kurt G, albums of the week.
All right. Flip. The albums of the week. Let me all just went right in, didn't I? Albums of the week for this week, we got Flip, Reflections, and Union Black, Street English, and the instrumental joint is Mononome, Tale of the Phoenix.
All right. That's...
I got a question for you.
What's that?
That Flip ain't Lil Flip with a new way, is it?
Flip, Flip, Flip.
The leprechaun?
Speaking of getting sued.
Hell yeah, nigga. You take that fucking Pac-Man, nigga, you're going to get sued.
No doubt. So that's what's up. You got anything swerving?
No, except that I'm glad these people tune in to listen to us. Yeah. Love it. Appreciate it.
No doubt. That's what's good, yo. Shout out to everybody who helped get the show together. I guess we'll see y'all next week.
That's what's up.
All right.
Peace.
One.
Yo, Flip, what up, man? This beat sound crazy right here. You know what I mean? Real, just like, take me back, I don't know. Something like, I don't know. It's just a good feeling. Word. It's in the atmosphere, man. Killer Priest, the trilogy, you know what I mean? Tragic Allies.
Yeah. peace, family. Peace. We more than brothers in arms. The same father, but the difference is moms. I haven't seen you in a long minute, but the love's infinite. So stay strong, I'll hold you down to the finish in the song. Word is born, reminiscing the songs. The definition of a dawn. I wonder where it went wrong. But I guess it's what's expected. The street life is hectic, reflective of our environments. Designed to project this. But as of right now, I sit and write down a new verse. The smooth perp, true worth and lifestyle. My crew work the mic now. Breaking borders and shit. We up in Austin, you're recording with Flip. Yo, G, I'm loving all of this shit. Can't ask for more. European tours, weed stores, euros galores. It's something that I never seen before. So for sure, I'ma see stacks and be back for more. Peace.
I'm realizing my devil disguised as a friend, and I'm killing me now. The bad mind and I'm wicked inside. I never test my artillery. I'm charging with my allies and I will flex our ability. Now, the devil knows in his head, they never deal with a mystery.
Life is full circle, ignite the vortex in the cortex. Yes, a long back, sipping and flip the influence. My intuit, shun is this, that's one love and one mic and one diss. Might get you hissed, the b-boy stands in black fist to follow. The North Star bars, under constellations, my oasis. Eccentric, make filters out the Rolodex. When niggas fighting on the bus, I kept my concentration. Pacing to another destination. From Delilah, dropping guts and blazing fire. Just to have the same old conversation. Messiah, the desperate works of Satan. Has seen you like a statement, but ain't shit that you could pray. On, relay on, niggas holding the torch to see the truth is powder residue on forces. We the heirs of the gods who would declare one way to set it, get it infinitely till the day come. Regret it, my I never sun, never shun the sunshine. So let it come, overrun, activate equilibrium.
Yeah, I realize that my devil disguised as a friend, and I'm killing me now. The bad mind and I'm wicked inside. I never test my artillery. I'm charging with my allies and I will flex our ability. Now, the devil knows in his head, they never deal with a mystery. Who the survival is from this long? Smoothness, I drop a newness from the tongue. Suit and tie in a government affair. All the devil is some catch a liquor from a gun. I'm on Judas, the wicked Judas, he get none. Working every day, I'm trying to ruin my vision. No man, I wanna get some. More fire upon the politician. Wicked one.
Took the J train out in the rain. A man begging for change. I felt this veteran pain. Let me explain. Graffiti covered the wall. The guard with beanie recall. Ciphers in the halls and bathroom stalls. You either rap or you ball. My talent, I master them all. Older guards will rhyme and time will pause. It's Tough City Squad on the boulevard. I stood on AVAD. First time I seen a spacecraft.
I'm realizing my devil disguised as a friend, and I'm killing me now. The bad mind and I'm wicked inside. I never test my artillery. I'm charging with my allies and I will flex our ability. Now, the devil knows in his head, they never deal with a mystery.
Can we see good on earth? Take every day that comes my way for what it's worth. Can we see good on earth? Take every day that comes my way for what it's worth.
I think oftentimes when people hear me and see me, they think that I'm a fool. They think that somehow or another I've lost my mind, that I'm not down with the in crowd. They've said that nobody would love me and that I'm an outcast. But let me say this here now. We can be clear about anything. Please let me be clear about this. And I pray that it's received and understood. I don't want to be one of you. I don't want to be one of you weak men, weak
this
people.
For my brother,
I'd rather
Kendrick
die.
Lamar.
Death is welcome rather than to call myself you spineless black man.
Saha, I ain't your traditional. Rapper smoking medicinal, stayed in detention. Life is all about principles. Cynical ass niggas, sorry that I offended you. I bring something different. Why niggas sounding identical? Huh.
I'd rather drown in a swimming pool than to let you imbeciles stop me from topping my pinnacle. Try me blocked by the genitals, trust me, it's not intentional. It's the difference between a gangster and a criminal. Cause real gangsters can't do Breakfast Club interviews. A lot of you niggas don't own a business suit. A slave for every pair of Michael Jordan tennis shoe. But anywho, got your bitch walking around like she winning pool. With no bottoms on, just the top of her swimming suit. What you gon' say when them niggas gon' try to get at you? Them in what army, or you just talking in general? Cause in the end, we all gon' die like them Seminoles, nigga. These niggas weak. I'm fucking up, these niggas weak.
Of black men in America today. The destruction of the family, the loss of integrity. When as a young boy, black shot down every day for years without stopping, when I look at what we are as black people, I'd rather be dead than yeah. to continue to live against such.
Y'all ain't trying to start a revolution. Y'all looking for a restitution. Niggas kill each other every day and ain't no evolution. My partner shot 100 niggas and it was never proven. We just labeled him a gangster and kept it moving. Let me give you the same outcome, separate shooting. A white man kill a black, we holler persecution. So instead of looting, it's time to find some better schooling. You can act like y'all don't understand when I'm elocuting. Did I stutter? I was never Reuben. Y'all ain't no Black Panthers. You wasn't there with Newton. You ain't Marshall Martin. Try to better humans. Instead of all these rappers, we need some better students. It's time to rebuild the neighborhoods that we helped to ruin and the NAACP. Y'all need some help recruiting. Fuck a resolution. Let's get some retribution. I feel like Malcolm X when he left the movement. These niggas weak. I'm fucking up. These niggas weak. These niggas weak. Huh. I'm fucking up. These niggas weak. Y'all know what it is, yeah, I said it, nigga. All you niggas laying up with these bitches with no condoms and shit. Having mistake babies and shit, leaving these women to motherfucking raise your kids by their motherfucking self. Yeah, my nigga, I said it. You don't like what's going on in the motherfucking America, leave this motherfucker. When they said we were free, my nigga, that mean we were free to go back where the fuck we came from, my nigga. Yeah, it's a whole motherfucking continent that belong to us, nigga. It's called Africa, motherfucker. The fuck is y'all talking about? Y'all ain't trying to start no revolution. Motherfuckers spent 10 bands on a motherfucking section in the motherfucking club. 10 bands to build a whole motherfucking neighborhood in Nigeria, nigga. Get the fuck out of here.
Can you turn the track down a little bit? Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. Let's just use that one.
Alright,
can you turn my vocals up some? Yo.
It all started in 98, writing songs, recording tapes, anticipating a big break. My dream of a rap career just starting to take shape on the campus of my college down in Morehead State. I was on a scholarship, studying in two minds. One's on the NFL, the other is spitting rhymes. With a deal getting signed was the goal of it all. Cause to me, my family deserved at least one star on the cover of The Source or The Sports Illustrated. Either way, they be able to look and say one of us made it. I be bringing home the bacon, the grits and eggs. So I stayed in the lab and training my legs. Got associated with a couple clicks and crews from Jersey to Kentucky, scribing up different tunes on the Amtrak, Delta flights and Greyhound buses. 22-hour trips to see mom, but losing luggage, they say. Nothing ventures, nothing gained. And sometimes you risk it all to earn your name. And sometimes you win, you lose, but faith remains. If you wanna know glory, you gotta know pain. They say nothing ventures, nothing gained. And sometimes you risk it all to earn your name. And sometimes you win, you lose, but faith remains. If you wanna know glory, you
gotta know pain. The first of my fam to go to college straight from high school. I was struggling inside, but still a nice dude. From a fam I never knew had a musical background, but I couldn't clear my head of those musical sounds. So now I'm playing politics with different heads in the community, trying to find a platform, so this was all new to me. Smiles in my face, knives in my back. At the same time, I'm earning MVP sports plaques from Sirius Stats, getting press, gaining coverage, developing a name in the eyes of the public. From sweat on my brow, my hand to the plow, I expected to become my family's cash cow. That's not how it went down. I never got drafted, never made it in the magazine pages for my rap, and a seemingly tragic end from all that it cost. I hung my head in shame, thinking all was lost. But they say, nothing ventures, nothing gained, and sometimes you risk it all to earn your name. And sometimes you win, you lose, but faith remains. If you wanna know glory, you gotta know pain. They say, nothing ventures, nothing gained, and sometimes you risk it all to earn your name. And sometimes you win, you lose, but faith remains. If you wanna know glory, you gotta know pain. I became one of those brothers going pro in something other than Super Bowl rings or jump shots at the buzzer. Inside, I felt like a disappointment to my mother. Later on, I discovered she was less concerned